Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
How do we process a disaster? First, through journalism and social media, eyewitness accounts, news stories. It's only later that the arts, theater, music, and fiction catch up and reflect on what has happened. Well, as of yesterday, New York City has had over 215,000 diagnosed cases of COVID-19 and more than 23,000 deaths. Each one of those lives and deaths touched by dozens of doctors, nurses, and other frontline workers. Now, playwrights Jessica Blank and Eric Jensen have been delving into their experiences. Their play, The Line, draws on the firsthand experiences of seven healthcare workers to provide a picture of what it was really like to care for patients in the beginning stages of this public health emergency that is still unfolding. The Line stars Santino Fontana, Arjun Gupta, John Ortiz, Allison Pill, Nicholas Pinnock, Jamie Sheridan, and Lorraine Toussaint, and it premieres tonight at 7:30 p.m. on YouTube and on the website of the Public Theater. Welcome to all of it, Jessica Blank and Eric Jensen.
Thanks for having us.
We're happy to be here.
So Jessica, in the middle of a pandemic, which has halted the normal functioning of theaters in New York City, you decided to make a play about that pandemic. How did this come about?
Well, our play, our last play, documentary play, Coal Country, was running at the Public when the theaters shut down. It opened March 3rd. So and the theaters closed down very suddenly. So we were in direct communication with the Public Theater and everyone over there when everything closed down. And, you know, like everybody in the city and in our theater community, we were shocked and paralyzed and didn't know what to do next or what was going to happen. But a few weeks in, we were approached by the 24-hour plays that were doing a series of viral monologues to write a monologue. And we asked if we could do a documentary style and interview a New York City nurse. And they said yes. So we did. And we found that experience very powerful. It was leading up to the peak still. Things were very intense in New York. We found it very powerful and therapeutic, although also difficult for us. But it felt really important. And out of that came the idea of like, hey, you know, maybe we could do a kind of rapid response documentary play. The Public was still, I think, figuring out what they were going to do, how they were going to keep making work before the theaters could reopen. And we brought the idea to them, and a few weeks later, they circled back and said yes, and have been extraordinarily supportive of, as we've embarked on this kind of unprecedented, weird thing of making online theater with them.
And Eric, you call this a documentary play, and I should probably say that you and Jessica have used similar methods to make plays about war in the Middle East, wrongful convictions in the United States, and the Upper Big Branch mine disaster in West Virginia. What were some of the particular challenges of interviewing healthcare workers and distilling their words and making it into what is essentially a dramatic work?
Well, at the beginning of this, you mentioned 23,000 deaths in New York. And, you know, I take that very personally. Those aren't numbers. Those are my neighbors. And, you know, I wanted to do interviews that honored them. You know, I thought initially, at least, you know, interviewing people online was going to be very cold. But the interviews changed me. In particular, an interview with the paramedic who said that the federal government abandoned New York and has American blood on its hands. When he said that, changed me. There are the rare interviews that come along that do that. And that rage that I felt that he transferred to me drove me to continue to make the piece. You know, it's hard carrying stories like this for an extended period of time. It works on your soul. I mean, you know, you interview people and, you know, you need some time to let it go. But this was something that we just couldn't let go. We needed these stories out there.
Eric Jensen, a playwright, along with his co-playwright, Jessica Blank. Their play is The Line, and it premieres tonight on YouTube and on the website of the Public Theater. We're going to be back and talk more about documenting the lives of New York City healthcare workers in the COVID pandemic after a short break. Ilya Marritz in for Allison Stewart. You are listening to All of It, and we're talking with two playwrights, Jessica Blank and Eric Jensen, whose play is The Line, and you can't see it in theaters since theaters in New York City are closed, but you will be able to see it tonight at 7:30 on the website of the Public Theater or on YouTube. And this is a play about the lives of frontline workers dealing with the COVID crisis in New York City. It's probably one of the quickest pieces of art produced in response to this disaster. And let's hear a clip of the show. Do we have that clip ready? This is about a minute long clip from the play, The Line.
We heard about it when it was in China. You know, something happening over there.
We started talking about it in February, but I was just focused on surviving my first intern year. I wasn't even wearing a mask back then. You just feel like you're being dramatic.
The information that we had was that it wasn't affecting healthy young people. And I just thought, something that's far away is far away. And right now I have people in front of me that need my care. I can't be worried about something that's not here yet. That's the government's job.
I think mid-January I said, okay, this is going to be interesting because look at New York City. I mean, how many people ride the trains? How many people ride the buses? We're all just keeping a wary eye.
I pay attention to the news. As paramedics, you're always looking at different articles and going, yo, check this study out. We've been talking about COVID for a minute. Like, yo, check it. China has another thing going on. Yo, we got to be careful because you got to understand, we went through Ebola, right? You had Zika virus, you had Ebola, you had the West Nile, you had H1N1, SARS. We were like, yo, what if it comes over here?
The voices of actors reading the real words of real frontline healthcare workers in New York City from the play The Line. I am talking with the playwrights Jessica Blank and Eric Jensen. Jessica, what happens when you take the real words of real people in a real crisis situation and give them to actors to voice?
Well, that's a great question. So before the first thing we do is interview the real people, and then we transcribe those interviews and we work with the transcripts to create the script. So there's a writing process that happens in between, but it's not a traditional writing process where we're making anything up, right? We hew to close to journalistic standards in terms of how we treat the language, but we give it a dramatic shape. So that by the time it gets to the actors, it's really in a script form. There is a dramatic arc. The monologues have dramatic shape in and of themselves. And then the script overall does too. We are weaving together multiple voices to tell a larger story. So it's kind of a magical thing, actually. We're very protective of the rhythm of people's speech when we edit and when in our writing process. So that even as we're shaping and crafting the language, we're preserving the way people really speak, because so much of our psychology is contained in our words. And this incredible thing happens. We've seen it over and over with our plays when actors get their hands on this kind of text without listening to recordings, without seeing footage, without doing any of that kind of external work. The actors start picking up the gestures of the real people. They start picking up the rhythms of the real people and their vocal inflections, and everything is there in the text. It's an incredible thing to watch just how much of our inner experience is contained in our language, and how incredible actors, and we have a really extraordinary cast, are able to tap into that just by working with the language.
I haven't had the chance to see the play like everyone else. I have to wait till tonight, but I did get to see the script, and it was really interesting to look at as an audio journalist because it looks so much like the materials that I work with, complete with ums and people sort of changing what they're going to say mid-sentence and struggling to express something that is truly kind of incomprehensible.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, really- it's that's kind of what we're, that's kind of our job, you know, this entire pandemic has been incomprehensible to a lot of people. And, you know, our job is to try and make it comprehensible and condense it into something that people can understand, you know. And of all the things that I needed to understand, I needed to learn about sacrifice. And that's what these interviews did for me. You know, I learned a lot about sacrifice from all of these healthcare workers. They sacrifice their health, their families, some of them their lives for us. And, you know,
Eric, can you give an example, yeah, maybe a specific character in the play?
A specific character in the play? Well, at least two or three characters in the play all got sick from COVID. One of them dangerously so. And a nurse in particular that I'm thinking of, who worked with elderly residents at a nursing home. And, you know, she got sick herself, had trouble getting admitted to a hospital because of a lot of things, racism being one of them. And then when she came back to work, half of her population that she served was gone. And she took that personally. She took that hard. Every one of those residents of that nursing home meant something to her. Again, you know, with all of our projects, you know, it's always, there's a number, you know, this many people, you know, were wrongfully convicted. This many people died in the Iraq War. There are these numbers. And we're always interested in putting a story behind the numbers and putting a face behind the numbers, so they stop being numbers and they start being human.
So, Jessica, normally when you put on a play, I gather you put it on in a darkened room with lots of seats and a stage and people can see it. How is this going to be different?
Well, it's online, right? I mean, what's kind of been wonderful about this process is that our documentary theater work is first person direct address to audience already, right? So we're already working with storytelling. And we're already weaving together stories of people who are speaking directly to the audience, who are not necessarily meant to be in the same room with each other in a sort of naturalistic sense. So there's a way that our work organically lends itself to this new strange hybrid form that we're working in. So, you know, as Eric sometimes says, we realized through the process of making this that this, of all of our plays, this is the one where the audience is going to have an experience that's closest to the experience that we have when we do the interviews. Because we did these interviews with people over Zoom. They would talk to us for a couple of hours when they got home from their shift or whatever. We were speaking to them in their homes. And so the performance aesthetic is replicating that, right? The actors are speaking to us from their homes or a corner of their home, right? And they're speaking to us, the audience, as if, you know, in the same way that the real people spoke to myself and Eric. So I think there's an intimacy that we get with this form that is kind of an amazing thing. And it's been, you know, it's been bizarre to try to rehearse a play. And I mean, I was just saying yesterday, we did a full tech all online, right? So to do
crossing
that remotely,
crossing three time zones,
actors, LA and New York and London. So I mean,
well, that's different.
It's kind of bonkers, but what's been amazing, and I think, you know, we all feel the remoteness of it. We all feel that it's straight. You know, so many times all of the actors are like, "Oh, I wish I could hug you at the end of a wonderful rehearsal or whatever." Right? Like, we're all theater people are so used to being in the same room with each other. It's like the heart of our work. But what's been really extraordinary to see is that theater people are still theater people and our ensemble is still working off each other. Like, they're able to do it even over Zoom, to feel each other's rhythms and breathe like they're breathing the same air and be in the piece together and affect each other emotionally. It's really at a time when the theater industry in particular is in such a precarious position and, you know, 95% of our friends are out of work, and it's so tenuous. It has really been an incredible thing to be able to see, oh, it still works. We can still do it in this strange temporary hybrid form, and everything that we know how to do together as theater makers is still going to be there when we can be in the same room together again.
I've been speaking with...
And speaking out together has really revitalized us, all of us together.
Well, I really look forward to catching your play, The Line. It streams live tonight at 7:30 on the website of the Public Theater. And you've been hearing the voices of playwrights Jessica Blank and Eric Jensen. They created The Line. Jessica, Eric, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thanks so much for having us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.